Please take your Bible this morning and open to 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 17. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says in verse 17 and 18 of this chapter, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to live in America. And thank you that we can meet here this morning in this place. And thank you for the Word of God and these great hymns that we get to sing. You have blessed us in so many ways. Thank you for your blessing upon our families and our individual lives and upon our country. I do ask, Lord, that you will minister to us today as we look at your Word. There will be several scriptures that we'll look at today, and then some simple principles to go along with it. So help me as I speak, and help all of us as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. This message is the second one in this short little series that I started last week. The Bible speaks about blank. Last week, the Bible speaks about itself. Today, the Bible speaks about Christian growth. Christian growth. You know that when a person trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that person is born again. We know that term. We hear that term. We speak that term. And I wonder sometimes if we really realize all that that entails. But we are born again. And I would like for you to consider this thought, that when a person is born again, much like in the physical realm, it's true in the spiritual realm, that person is a spiritual infant. A spiritual infant. Infants are not able to take care of themselves. Infants can't feed themselves. They can't get a drink of water. They can't get up and walk around and move around all by themselves. Infants are not able to change their diaper and their clothing when they mess themselves. And you and I know that all that stuff happens. But someone else has to help them with all that. Because they're an infant, it just makes sense. Someone else has to be there to lovingly help them and care for them and help them to grow and help them to mature. And hopefully one day they will become a mature Christian person, much like it is in the physical realm as far as the human family is concerned. Now, you and I know this too, if we think about it, that in the human family, there are different levels of maturity. I already mentioned the infant. But then, of course, there are toddlers. And there are those who are getting old enough now perhaps to go to kindergarten, first grade, and gradually work their way through all the grades of school. Some might be in high school. Some might be graduated from high school and going on to college or some trade school of some kind. Eventually, of course, those young people become old enough to get married, and they choose a mate, and they perform their vows in front of a pastor or preacher or maybe a justice of the peace or something like that. But anyway, they get married, and then the process starts all over again, doesn't it? Because eventually they'll have infants, and the process starts all over again. Very much like that in the spiritual realm, people need to be helped because they're freshly born again. They're spiritual infants. They must be helped to grow and mature and learn how to feed themselves and care for themselves. And, of course, eventually they're walking and pretty soon they're doing their best to feed on the Word of God themselves. And I'll talk about this today also, but the Bible references the milk of the Word, and it also references the meat of the Word. We'll say it then, of course, and I'll say it right now. The milk of the Word is for those who are younger in Christ. The meat of the word is for those who are older in Christ, more mature. But eventually they come to feed on the word of God themselves and get their prayer life moving and going to church and all those kinds of things. They're growing and maturing as a Christian and becoming hopefully what God wants them to become. God wants each one of us, I hope you know this, God wants each one of us to reach spiritual maturity. He doesn't want us to remain babes. Which is one of the reasons why it says what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 3. You notice in verse 17 it talked about being carried away by the error of the wicked and falling from your own steadfastness. And the encouragement in verse 18 is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, think about this. The letter is written, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The letter is written by Peter, writing to Christians. Different levels of Christian maturity in the churches that he was writing to. Some are newborn babes. Some are like the toddlers. Some are moving into kindergarten and first grade, some into, you know, junior high and high school. Some are adults. I mean, spiritual maturity, even here this morning as I'm speaking with you, there's no doubt different levels of spiritual maturity represented by the congregation that is gathered here this morning. But here's the point. No matter what level of spiritual maturity you're on, we all need to grow spiritually. No one here has reached the epitome of spiritual growth. We all have growth yet to do. And we all need to be growing as a Christian. And that's why the Apostle Peter writes this to this group of Christians here. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, that'll help protect you from what negative things are mentioned in verse 17, the previous verse. Being carried away by the error of the wicked or falling from your own steadfastness. If you're constantly growing in Christ, it's going to help prevent that from happening. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. And the three main thoughts I have for you this morning are these. Number one, the need for spiritual Christian growth. Number two, the areas of Christian growth. And then thirdly, the resources for Christian growth. You're already in 2 Peter, so back up just a little bit into 1 Peter and chapter 2, if you would. I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures here real quick. I'll give you the scripture, we'll read it, and then I'll give you a principle that comes from it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says this, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings..." Please notice where the responsibility lies to do that. It's with us. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." Now, I'm speaking here in this first point about the need for Christian growth, and I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures. This is the first one. I think these two verses show us that continued immaturity means that the attitudes and actions of our past still continue in our life. They continue to remain because we're not growing in Christ. We're spiritual babes. By the way, verse 1 says, "Laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings." Those are not things that are found in mature Christians. Those are things that are found in immature Christians and even earlier, the lost. So Peter says to the Christians he's writing to here, it's your responsibility to lay these things aside, the malice, the guile, the hypocrisies, the envies, the evil speakings. And it's also your responsibility, verse 2, "as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." When we remain as spiritual babes, when spiritual immaturity characterizes our life, it means that those attitudes and actions of our past still remain. That's not a good testimony for your Savior. And it's not a good witness. And it doesn't, by the way, it doesn't show that you're born again either. In fact, it shows the opposite. Let me show you another passage. Just got a couple I want to show you here. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. All right? Ephesians 4, 14 says that we, now this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, that we, the believers, the Christians, that we henceforth, that means from now forward, that we henceforth be no more children, spiritually speaking, children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Again, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I think this verse shows us that continued immaturity, in other words, you're remaining as a baby Christian, an infant, continued immaturity results in an unstable Christian. An unstable Christian. You notice that we henceforth be no more children. Look at, here's the unstable part. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. One of the things that happened, I know you remember this, in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and Satan tempting Eve and so forth, Satan did not try to convince Eve of some bizarre doctrine or belief. All he did was cast doubt on what God said. And the reason I bring that up is because when it mentions here in verse 14, being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, the devil is still working that very same way that he worked with Eve, just trying to get you and I to have some doubt about what God's word says. When a person is a spiritual infant and a young Christian and they're not growing in their Christian faith, in many ways they're unstable. It's really, in their Christian, in the scope of their Christian walk, it's a very dangerous time. Because it's way over here, to my left, and I realize to you it's the right, but this is the beginning of their Christian life. They've got all this Christian walk to go. But in that beginning time, the devil knows if he can bring things into their life, like it says here, every wind of doctrine, tossing them to and fro, he can win a lot of victories in that young Christian's life and get them confused and get them confounded and get them to doubt what God's word says. So it's really important, especially in those early days, that someone come alongside them and encourage them and strengthen them and watch out for them so that they can be grounded in the Christian faith, and hopefully the rest of their Christian walk will be one of just growing in maturity and get stronger and stronger in the Lord. But again, those early days can be very, very dangerous. Let me show you another one. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11. Just got this one and then one more passage, and then I'll get more into my outline here this morning. This is all concerning the need for Christian growth. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, in other words, they've been saved long enough now, these people that he's writing to, they've been saved long enough that they should be teaching others. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, remember that's for younger Christians, and not of strong meat, that's for older Christians. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, They're mature Christians. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. These verses are showing us that continued immaturity deprives the Christian of much needed discernment. You know, one thing that each one of us should be growing in as we grow in Christ, we should be growing in discernment. Discernment. You remember the passage that says, "Ye have the mind of Christ"? How would Christ look at it? How would Jesus look at it? What would his thoughts be about that? That's called discernment. Discernment. I've known a lot of Christians in my life, they lack discernment. And I really believe it's because they're not in the Word of God enough. They're not in the Word of God enough. We have the mind of Christ. Well, it's not something that magically appears inside of us. We get it by reading the Word and studying the Word and memorizing the Word. Growing as a Christian. All right, one more passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. We're talking about the need for Christian growth. The need for Christian growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren," this is again the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the church at Corinth, "and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." These folks were not being led by the Spirit of God. They were being led by their flesh. "I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." They haven't grown up in the Lord yet. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? And walk as men?" These verses show us that continued immaturity is often a cause of discord within the church, within believers. Discord, disunity, lack of unity, however you want to describe it. But continued immaturity, I would say this, and I believe this is true based on what I know from the Bible. When a person is a mature Christian, they avoid the discord and the disunity. They avoid that. And they actually work to try to solve it because they don't want disunity and discord, because that's where the devil lives. So we've looked at a couple of passages here. The first one showing that continued immaturity means the attitudes and actions of your past continue to remain. The second one showing us that continued immaturity results in an unstable Christian, you know, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. The third one shows us that continued immaturity deprives the Christian of much needed discernment. And then the fourth one, this set of verses showed us that continued immaturity is often a cause of discord and disunity within the church family. Now, all these things that I mentioned are a very, very poor witness for our Savior. And so to remain as a spiritual baby and, you know, basically ruled by your flesh, not by the Spirit of God, to be in that situation means you're not going to be an effective witness for the Savior. Because let's be honest, who wants to be around folks like that? Huh? I don't know about you, but if I see somebody like that, I don't want what they have. Now, you set me down with someone who's a mature Christian, I'm happy to sit there and talk with that person, because I can learn something and I can grow just by visiting with them. The point I'm trying to make here is there's a real need for Christian growth, and all of us need to grow as a Christian. We all need to grow spiritually in our daily lives. You and I should not be satisfied. I hope you'll hear this. You and I should not be satisfied today to be at the same spiritual level we were 5 years ago. Nope. We need to move on. We need to grow as a Christian. We need to get more established, more stable, more settled, more steadfast as a Bible-believing Christian. Not tossed to and fro, not having those old habits and old attitudes and actions from our past hanging on, not persuaded that there's doubt about God's Word, lacking discernment, none of that stuff. We need to grow. We need to mature as a Christian. So again, there's a real need for Christian growth. The second thing I want to talk to you about this morning is the areas of Christian growth. The areas of Christian growth. Think about this. Let your mind just meditate on this a little bit. The child of God, these are all things that the Bible tells us. I don't have a Bible verse in my notes to back up each one, but I think you'll know as you hear them that the Bible does teach this. The child of God needs to grow in grace. You know, that was in our text, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The grace of God. The grace of God manifested toward us. It's a wonderful thing. Would you agree with that? Amen. The grace of God manifested toward us. It's a wonderful thing. And it's something that we all should just, you know, it's maybe not a pretty picture, but we ought to just, you know, like soaking in a hot tub. You know, just we ought to just really enjoy that. We ought to soak it up and just relish that. The grace of God in our life and what He manifests to us. But wait, friend. Don't keep it to yourself. Manifest that same grace toward others. Are there going to be things about other people in your life that rub you the wrong way? I think if we're honest, we'd all have to say yes. Now, you know, some folks, you and I know this, some folks we get along with just splendidly. Really. We would say, it's brilliant. Our relationship is just brilliant. Some of the British actors, you know, talk that way. But then there's other people that just, for whatever reason, they just rub you the wrong way. They get under your skin. It's like, I know some individuals, I'm not going to mention it, and it's nobody here. Just want you to know this. Nobody here. But I'm thinking about a couple of individuals right now. Two, they happen to be men. Two of them. Well, I just thought of a third one. There's three of them. I can handle them in small doses, but after a while they start to get annoying and they get under your skin. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Now, why do you bring that up, Pastor? Because that's when you need to manifest Christian grace. Friend, please, don't get upset with me when I tell you this, but if God can love you, you can love them. If God can manifest His grace to you, and I'm speaking to me too, then we can manifest Christian grace to them. We need to grow in grace. Sometimes, you ever heard, I know you've heard this. People talk about this sometimes, and It's really sad when I hear it from some, you know, young lady or young man who's working a cash register and says, you know, some of the worst people to come across my life in a day are Christians. Oh, that bothers me when I hear that. Christians should be some of the most pleasant people in all the world. I mean, I don't know what you do, but I like to do this. Sometimes it doesn't work, but when I come across a cashier that looks like they're having a rough day, I try to brighten their day. I know some of the rest of you do that because you've told me. But let's not be the one, as a Christian especially, let's not be the one that makes their day worse, right? Or leaves that bad taste in their mouth for a Christian. We need to manifest Christian grace. Grow in grace, the Bible says. Also in that same passage, by the way, in our text, it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we need to grow in grace, but we also need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to have to be in the Bible. You know, we're going to have to be looking at the Scriptures and memorizing the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures. We need to know about Him and who He is and how He operates and how He works in this world and in my life and yours. That all comes by spending time with Him. Would you agree with me? Sarah probably knows more things about me than you do. Don't you ever tell him. But you know why she knows more about me than you do? Because she spends more time with me than you do. Now I realize, say, what? Come on. Can't you give us something deep from the Word? Think about what I said. You're going to learn more about Christ by spending more time with Him. Here's another example. My friend, Wayne, is involved with, you still have it, right? A race car? And you know something about racing and you know, building a race car and engines and all that kind of stuff. If I were to match up what I know about all that with Wayne, I would be like this. He would be like this, you know. But see, the reason is, that's where his interests are, and that's he's spent time in that arena, okay? So he's learned and he's grown. And now think about it in the spiritual realm. You're going to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ by spending time with Him, putting forth the energy and the effort and the money and whatever it takes to spend time with your Lord. You get to know and you grow in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It simply comes by spending time with Him and His Word. So the child of God needs to grow in grace. He or she needs to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us that the child of God needs to grow in their knowledge of Bible doctrine. Now, I realize some people, I hope not you, but some people, when they hear those two words, Bible doctrine, they recoil at that. But friend, Bible doctrine's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It gives you something to anchor your life on. It gives you something that's stable and steadfast. I realize some areas of Christianity today, they kind of minimize Bible doctrine, but Bible doctrine is very important. And you and I need to know Bible doctrine and why we believe what we believe. It's very important. I've got to hasten. I'm just peeked at the clock. The child of God needs to grow in grace, needs to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The child of God needs to grow in knowledge of Bible doctrine. The child of God needs to grow in obedience to God's Word. Obedience to God's Word. Hearing God's Word and even knowing God's Word is important, but obedience is what's most important. Actually following through with what it says. The book of James reminds us that we will be blessed as we obey what the Word of God says. So the child of God needs to grow in grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the knowledge of Bible doctrine and obedience to God's Word. The child of God needs to grow in spiritual convictions. Spiritual convictions. Spiritual convictions are like solid anchors that keep us from being swept away or, like we read earlier, tossed to and fro by the philosophies of this world or the things that the devil brings up to try to cause us to doubt God's Word. Spiritual convictions, I'm talking about things that are based on God's Word. In other words, this. Can you show me a chapter and verse for that? Not because Dr. So-and-so said it, but because the Bible said it. Can you show me a chapter and verse for that? We all need spiritual convictions that are based on God's Word. So the child of God needs to grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, grow in the knowledge of Bible doctrine, grow in obedience to God's Word, grow in spiritual convictions, and then the child of God also needs to grow in Christian love. Christian love. Did not Jesus Himself tell us that the world would know that we are Christians because we love one another? Christian love is one of those things that God tells us helps others to know that we are believers. We need to grow in our Christian love, both for the Lord and for other people. So that's the areas of Christian growth. Grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grow in knowledge of Bible doctrine, grow in obedience to God's word, grow in spiritual convictions, and grow in Christian love. Quickly, I've got one more point. We spoke about, first of all, the need for Christian growth, then the areas of Christian growth, and thirdly this morning, the resources. The resources for Christian growth. And I want to start out with something that we saw several times this morning, the milk and meat of the Word. The milk and meat of the Word. The milk of the Word, of course, is for those who are younger in Christ, younger in the Lord, spiritually babies yet, okay? The milk of the Word. The meat of the Word is for those who are spiritually mature. The milk and meat of the Word is a great resource for Christian growth. I cannot overemphasize the importance of you and I being in the Word of God. I cannot overemphasize that. It's so very important. Another resource is the inner working of the Holy Spirit. The inner working of the Holy Spirit. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He took up residence inside you. He's taken up residence inside you to teach you, to help you, and to guide you. You ever hear this little phrase? That still, small voice of the Holy Spirit? You know, we need to listen for that. Take the earbuds out. Listen for the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Please understand, I'm not against using earbuds or listening to Christian music or Christian podcast of some kind or whatever. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, listen to the Spirit of God. It's a still small voice. It's really a lot of times in the quietness of your day, if you can find that. And the Spirit of God is working in your heart and life, and He's showing you things and telling you things. The inner working of the Holy Spirit is a great resource. So the milk and meat of the Word, the inner working of the Holy Spirit. By the way, the Christian life is a great resource. The Christian life. How many things have you and I learned as a Christian just by living the Christian life? A lot. The things that happen, the things that God allows, the things that God doesn't allow. Learn from the lessons that God is teaching you along the way, and you're going to grow as a Christian. Nothing happens by accident. God is in charge of all these things, and He is allowing things in your life and mine to teach us. It's a great resource. Here's another one. The local church, as a teaching classroom, is a great resource. The many services that we have throughout the week. In Sunday school, in the adult class, we're going through 1 Samuel, verse by verse. On Sunday mornings, we're having messages like this. Usually it deals with a topic of some kind. On Sunday nights, we're studying Isaiah, verse by verse. Right now, on Wednesday nights, we're in the book of Romans, going through verse by verse. Just imagine if you'd come to all those services. How much Bible instruction you would get in 1 week. Boy, that was to me a very powerful truth. Amen. That's what the church services are for, to teach you the Word of God so that you can grow and so that you can learn. The local church as a teaching classroom is a great resource. All those services throughout the week, they're meant to help you to learn the truths and principles of the Word of God. Make yourself available to as many as you can. And then one more thought about resources. We've got the milk and meat of the Word, the inner working of the Holy Spirit, the Christian life, the local church as a teaching classroom, and then lastly, the local church as a training ground for service is also a great resource. I can remember all these years that I've been involved, I was asked again yesterday, how long have you been doing this? And I told the man that I was talking to, 48 years I've been doing this. If you count the years that I was an assistant pastor and then the years that I was the pastor, 48 years that I've been doing this, coming up on 49. Well, that's a long time. But just think about all the situations that I've been put in all those 48 years. And all the different things that I've learned along the way. I'm thinking now about the time when I was in college and I was an assistant over here at Calvary Baptist Church in Jefferson. My dad was the pastor, so you can imagine when your dad's the pastor, you're basically the gopher. Whatever he doesn't want to do, you get to do. And don't take me wrong, I love my dad. Appreciate all the training and teaching he gave me and so forth. But I got to do all kinds of things. I worked with junior church. I worked with the visitation ministry. I worked with the choir and the music part of it. I got to preach several times for him. I mean, I got to do a lot of things and see how the church operated and so forth. And that was such a good training ground for me because, you know, the local church can provide for you a learning and a teaching that you're not going to get other places. When you get involved, that's a key. When you get involved in not only the church services, but the church ministries, you get to learn how to serve the Lord and how to please Him. And of course, how to help others come to know the Lord and to grow as a Christian. So as we serve the Lord through our local church, not only are we helping others to grow, we're going to grow. Many of you know this because you've experienced this. One of the best ways to grow is to be a teacher. Because as you're studying and learning to teach others and then teaching others, you're growing. I'm just fortunate I get paid to do it. I think that's a good deal. Anyway, Christian growth. The Bible speaks about Christian growth, the need for Christian growth. Number two was the areas of Christian growth. Number three was the resources for Christian growth. Friend, God's provided all this for us. He wants us to grow as a Christian. And wherever you are in your Christian progression, you still have areas where you need to grow. So do I. Let's take advantage of what God provides for us. And let's do all we can that we can honestly say as I look back over the last 5 years, I'm a more mature Christian than I was 5 years ago. I've grown. I've matured. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm on my way. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking. Father in heaven, as we bow our hearts and heads before you today, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for giving us the tools that we need to grow as a Christian. We thank you for all these resources that we just talked about. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to grow. So give us that desire to want to grow, to become all that you want us to be, that we might honor you and please you in our Christian life. Please bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.